Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in 15 minutes, if you missed anything from Patrick Mahomes today as he met with the media, we will play it for you coming up in 15 minutes. But let's head to the phone lines right now as we continue our Bills game week coverage brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City and catch up with John Clayton of ESPN 710 in Seattle. John, appreciate you making time.
A lot better than last week when we had no power for over 24 hours and I couldn't even hardly get anything and the cell phone reception was bad. We have recovered, but it's great to be with you.
No, I'm happy that it ended up working out. Let's start with the quarterback matchups that we'll see in both of these games. What do you make of it? Because the NFL has to be happy regardless of what two teams that we get in the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great combination of the new school quarterback against the old guard.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think is so interesting in the standpoint that you see the AFC with the young quarterbacks and the NFC with the older quarterbacks, and there's going to be more turnover in the NFC this offseason as far as the quarterbacks, where it's going to be nothing but growth in the AFC. And so, you know, I compare it to, you know, back in the mid-2000s when you saw, you know, guys like Ben Roethlisberger and others start to come into the AFC and start to become top quarterbacks. And I think you're going to see that now even more in the AFC coming up. And remember how it got to the point where toward the end of the 2000s, I mean, it was one where the AFC was winning 44 of the 64 games that they would have an interconference play. And so I think what you're going to see, because, you know, you're going to see so much change in the NFC because Drew Brees retiring most likely. You know, we don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is going to be back with Carolina. There's going to be so much change. We don't know for sure if Jared Goff or even Jimmy Garoppolo are going to be back with their teams. Not that they're old, but you're going to see so much change. But that puts the AFC in such a great spot because, I mean, they started the season with 10 quarterbacks that were still in their rookie contracts. And when you're in your rookie contract, you can continue to build toward the Super Bowl because what you have then is a lower cap number, a lower contract, until you have to eventually pay the $30-plus million you can for these quarterbacks.
John, you've covered this league for quite some time. Can you think of a player who had the improvement over the course of one season, the way we've seen with Josh Allen? Not just talking quarterbacks. Can you think of any player at any position who has taken the leap in one year that Josh Allen has?
Well, I mean, the comparable would be Lamar Jackson from year one to two, you know, what he did last year. Because when you saw him, I mean, you know, he was just basically a running quarterback. And then last year, the dramatic jump was the fact that he actually was okay in the pocket. Now, again, not completely okay, and that's why Josh Allen is a much better version of where things are. But what I was able to see is that, okay, everybody wants to take a mobile quarterback and trap him in the pocket. Well, he was able to take those 10, 15-yard throws and do a good job of completing those passes. I mean, the only thing that was different, and he didn't get to improve it too much this year, is those passes outside the numbers and then 15 or 16 yards plus downfield, those 21-plus yard throws. But no, I think in Josh Allen, I mean, you're seeing a quarterback that improved his offense by more than 10 points because here he comes in, you know, averaging 19 points a game in his first couple years as a starter. Now he's over 30, and he's consistently getting 300 yards. He's able to run. He's able to get the ball downfield. And again, we all knew in 2018 he had the best arm in the draft. It's just a matter did he have the right combination of people to catch the ball, run the routes, and then him getting the ball more accurately. And once they got Stephon Diggs, it all clicked.
So yesterday we had this, and I want to ask you this because you get to see Russell Wilson up close and you're in Seattle. I think the tier one quarterbacks in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Patrick Mahomes. Do you think that Josh Allen is on that same tier with those other three guys, or do you think he needs to do a little bit more to prove to be that elite type QB?
Now, he's knocking on the door. I mean, he's certainly moving up without any question about it because, I mean, you can see that, you know the way he's played and coming into the playoffs is probably the hottest quarterback, not the best quarterback, but the hottest quarterback, that certainly puts in that high plane. And, you know, you can see as the season was going on, particularly in the quarterbacks from that 2018 draft, he was starting to show the best. I mean, before he was trailing a Baker Mayfield, and certainly Sam Darnold is down the list because he hasn't really emerged. But no, I think what you're looking at is that he's at that stage. I wouldn't put him yet over, say, a Deshaun Watson, but I think right now Deshaun Watson's the sixth best quarterback in the league. But you can start to make the argument that he's either seven or eight, which is a pretty good rise from somebody who was probably down in the lower teens last year.
John, I remember in Miami at the Super Bowl last year, you sat down with C.Dot and I, and we were talking about their opponent, the San Francisco 49ers, and all the things they did well. Who do you think's a better football team? Who's a more difficult opponent? Last year's 49ers or these Buffalo Bills?
Well, it's different in the standpoint that Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I think that's now pretty evident. But also, San Francisco's defense was so good, particularly with all the first-round picks on the defensive line and having Richard Sherman a cornerback and, Garoppolo with some of the weapons that he had, and then the running scheme that was there for Kyle Shanahan. But so I'd say it's almost pretty even. The difference, of course, being now that what we have to see is that can Josh Allen take that passing show on the road and do as well, in what will be colder weather. Now, of course, he does it well in Buffalo in cold weather. But, I mean, he's a 60-40 pass-to-run player right now. And even in the playoffs, he's passing more than he can run. But traveling that for the first time since winning games in the playoffs might be difficult, and that could work against Josh Allen. Because, again, he's proven now he can win playoff games. But I'd say right now, Allen, if you go on a quarterback-driven league, you might lean toward Buffalo. But if you go on defense, San Francisco has a better defense than what the Buffalo Bills are.
Talk with John Clayton here on The Drive. So, Professor, being based out there in Seattle most of your life, the same way that Frank Clark has played most of his NFL career out there in Seattle. I'll admit, I didn't watch a ton of snaps from him, and when I did watch a Legion of Boom, I was watching other guys. Was he inconsistent back then? Like, were there games where you would watch him and not even notice that he was on the football field?
No, not at all. I mean, that's the surprising part about this year, has been the inconsistency, but I think part of that has to be, the pandemic itself, because if you really look at the numbers, defensive ends did not have big years. Many of them didn't. I mean, you've got some of the pass-rushing linebackers and 3-4 defenses getting the sacks, but what was it? There's only 12 players that defenders that had, I think, double-digit sack seasons. Sacks were down more than 10%. So I think a lot of the inconsistency is, one, and I didn't see it in Seattle, because the one thing is he hustled every play. And also what was great about Frank Clark, he was always bobbing to the music because, of course, in Seattle, they would always have good music. And, of course, before every play, he was always kind of dancing with the music and all that stuff. So I don't know if he missed a step in the dance or whatever it is. But, yeah, it wasn't as good of a season. The fact that Chris Jones ended up having more sacks than Frank Clark, a little bit of a surprise. But then also, what also plays against Frank Clark in defensive ends is the fact that we have so many more mobile quarterbacks. And so not only are you trying to chase them to get them in the pocket, but then you have to chase them outside the pocket to see if you can get through the sacks.
John, I'm curious how you view this game, because this week, at least a lot of the conversation has shown Buffalo respect, but also acknowledged that Kansas City just appears to be the superior version of Buffalo at coach, at quarterback, at offensive weapons, even at Kansas City's defense being a little bit better. As a neutral observer, how do you view these two teams, understanding what Buffalo did the last 7 weeks of the season, but also acknowledging what Kansas City's done the last 27 seasons or weeks?
Yeah, it just comes down to Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick Mahomes even though Aaron Rodgers is going to be probably the MVP, I still think Patrick Mahomes, even at this stage, is the better quarterback. And, of course, the difference is like, if the game – because the way the game might go is that it's not out of the question for in the second half the Bills to have the lead. But who's more comfortable with bringing a team back on a comeback? Now, again, Josh Allen has been a good fourth quarter comeback quarterback, but he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, what's going to be interesting is that the speed is going to be there on the receiving core, and also how are they going to match up against Travis Kelce? You know, because, again, the Chiefs have the speed at wide receiver. They, in the first game against Buffalo in Week 6, they were able to run the football. I don't know if that's going to be as successful, but that's one of the weaknesses. But I think at this stage, you know, Buffalo's the better team. I mean, Kansas City's the better team, even though they might be trailing sometime in the second half. But if that's the case, I still think Patrick brings them from behind. And you saw that in the playoffs and the Super Bowl all year last year.
So if Buffalo pulls off the upset, what needs to happen in your opinion? What's the equation? What does Buffalo need to do to come into Kansas City and win the AFC?
To be honest, I have to think it has to be trying to run the ball a little successfully, because they haven't even tried to hardly run it in the playoffs. I mean, because, you know, it's 60-40 during the regular season as far as pass to run. But coming into a place like Kansas City, you've got to be able to try to run the football, because, you know, if you're going to just totally rely on a quarterback to throw, you know, 40 passes, 38 passes, all that, there's a tendency to get a turnover. Because obviously, if you lose the turnover battle, you lose the game. And if they get one or two turnovers because they're passing the ball too much, then that's going to be a problem. Plus, I mean, the more you pass, the more time Patrick Mahomes can come back and be on the field, you know, particularly if you can't get long drives. So I think that they need to try to run the football. And it was kind of ironic, like last week in the NFC game, you know, here's Tampa Bay. They're a 60-40 pass team. You know, they went to New Orleans in, you know, perfect conditions because it was indoors, and they ran the ball 35 times, and they dropped back into passes 34 times. I just think in Green Bay, of course, you can see they were like the seventh best team as far as running percentage, as far as the number of plays that they run compared to the past. I just think in a game like this, to be able to have success against the Chiefs, they've got to run the ball, take some time off the clock, and also, you know, not just pass, because if you pass, you may pass, intercept.
That is John Clayton joining us on the show. He is actually a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He has been in since 2007. John Clayton, the professor of ESPN 710 in Seattle, joining us on the show today. John, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks.
That is John Clayton of ESPN joining us on the show today. Thanks so much for listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you missed Patrick Mahomes earlier today, talk with the media. We will play it for you. He has officially been taken off of the NFL's concussion protocol. That's next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
So earlier today, Patrick Mahomes met with the media for the first time after the hit that took him out of the AFC divisional round against the Cleveland Browns. Here's what he had to say, confirming that he has cleared the concussion protocol and it should be all systems go for Sunday's AFC title game.
Yeah, I actually just got out of the protocol. The week has just been a bunch of testing, a bunch of different things just to make sure that I'm good to go and there's no lingering effects and anything like that. But everything's been good, and I went through what all the three, four different doctors have said, and everything's looked well, and I'm out of it now.
I don't really know how anybody can have an opinion on this other than this is what we all expected. If you had been following the story basically from the word go, especially what the Chiefs had said and what all the reports had been, I think we expected him to clear the concussion protocol today. Now, we don't know about the Bashaud Breeland injury, but we also haven't been trying to inquire as much about it as the Patrick Mahomes injury. But I expected that to be the news today. We talked about that on Monday, that Friday I fully expected by the time that we got on the show that they were going to confirm it, that Patrick Mahomes is going to play on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. And I think Mahomes all but said it earlier today.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear it, because how many times do you have to come on our show to be considered a friend of our show?
Three times.
And he's come on 15, 16 times. So he's a very good friend of the show.
I want to play this for you. This was Patrick Mahomes when he was asked about the hit that injured him, and I guess eventually put him on the concussion protocol.
Yeah, I mean, we had an option play call that we had ran a little bit earlier in the game. I ran it out to the right. Obviously got hit. Tried to get up, felt my legs go out. Knew that wasn't a good thing. So I was able to get grabbed. I remember before going off the field, I was telling I was telling the guys, the trainers, to let me stay there so Chad could warm up. I knew that we were about to go for on that fourth down. Then I went and went into the testing and everything like that.
So that was Patrick Mahomes when he was asked about the hit that put him on the concussion protocol. This was the big thing because you and I talked about it a lot on Wednesday whenever he was a full participant in practice. You don't give a quarterback all the reps in practice if you're not planning on starting him in the game. And the fact that at no point this week, at least based on their information, Chad Henne took a snap under center for Kansas City, that was the telltale sign that Patrick Mahomes was going to be the starting quarterback for the team. He also gave us an update on the toe injury. Now that we've gotten past the head and the concussion protocol, he still has the foot injury. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
You have to take it day by day. I think that's the biggest thing. You can only control what you can control. And for me, that was coming in every single day with a positive attitude, trying to make myself better, prepare myself as if I was going to play. And luckily enough, I haven't had any symptoms and I'm able to play. I just prepared myself and controlled what I could control. Luckily enough, we're at where we're at now.
And then just the other thing, it looked like you were a little bit hindered by your toe in that last game. I was wondering how you're feeling in that regard.
It's feeling a lot better. I mean, the next day was very sore, and then every single day since then has gotten a lot better. And it's stuff that you deal with being a football player. You deal with injuries, and luckily enough for me, it wasn't as bad as it looked, and it felt that day of and that day after.
So that was Patrick Mahomes as he met with the media earlier today to give us the information on his health. Patrick Mahomes expected to play on Sunday in the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills. You and I have been talking about it all week. We've always looked at it like Mahomes was going to play in this game. I think Vegas told us that he was going to play in this game. All the information told us. But now we hear it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Patrick Mahomes all set to play Sunday in the AFC title game.
And I'll admit, it gives me a little bit of a sigh of relief only to hear from Patrick Mahomes, because we knew he was going to play, like you said. I thought the entire time there was a 99% chance he played, but the fact that there was 1% that he didn't, that he might not play, meant that we kind of had to treat it that way. I think that now that we know that he is going to play in this football game, that tells me that the playbook is completely open, that he feels comfortable, whether it's getting outside the pocket, whether it's a design run, whether it's something that we haven't seen like we saw last year with Wasp in the Super Bowl. It feels like to me this is one of those games that Patrick Mahomes has to play great in this football game, in all likelihood, for the Chiefs to win. Now, the best part about that, C-Dot, is Patrick Mahomes plays great 90% of the time that I've watched him play. He's only had maybe one bad game and two average games, and everything else has been great. So I feel pretty good about his chances of slinging 300 yards and three touchdowns. But I do think it's going to take something like that because, one, he's going up against not his equal, but pretty damn close on the offensive side, the quarterback, Stephon Diggs. And two, we agree that the Chiefs probably aren't going to try to run the football, and if they do, they might not have a ton of success. So I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be great. I also think he has to be great for the Chiefs to get back to the Super Bowl.
I want to read these two tweets to you because they're a little bit confusing to me, and it kind of goes in line with something you've said earlier this week. So this is from Sam Farmer. He covers sports for the LA Times, very prominent publication. Every fan base this weekend between Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay could make the case that their quarterback is the best quarterback this weekend. Is anybody making the case that Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the NFL?
I thought you've been saying that the last couple of weeks, no?
Is anybody making the case that Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL? Now, I was a little bit more down on Brady than most people. Brady's had a much better season than I had anticipated. Nobody's making the case that Brady's the best quarterback in the league, are they? Josh Allen's had a fantastic season. Josh Allen's a second-team All-Pro quarterback this year. He might get his first Super Bowl ring. I don't think anybody's making the case that Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. Now, if you're an Aaron Rodgers fan and you want to make the case that he's the best quarterback in the league, I disagree with you, but I certainly could see how you could come to that conclusion. If you're a Kansas City fan, I'm on the side of you. I think that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, but nobody's making the case that Buffalo or Tampa Bay have the best quarterback in this weekend's round, are they?
No, but you love NBA comparisons. So if somebody says that LeBron is better than Steph Curry, or Steph Curry is better than Kevin Durant, or Kevin Durant's better than Giannis, or vice versa, you're really splitting hairs here.
I don't think that Josh Allen's any of those players, though. To be fair, though, like I hear what you're saying, and I understand the analogy. Like, I don't think Josh Allen's Steph Curry. I don't think that he's Giannis in that. Like, I think Giannis could be, by the time he's done, one of the 12 greatest players in the history of
basketball.
I think
he's very much Giannis. I think he's put up some good numbers. I think he's young. I think he's the next best thing. But until you actually go out there and win when it matters most, we saw Giannis in the biggest series come up small. I'm done with the NBA talk, by the way. let's see Josh Allen go out there and win this football game. We were talking about it yesterday. People respect Josh Allen. Everybody's now calling him a top four, top five quarterback. You know how you instantly get respect from everybody and their mama? You win this football game.
Yeah, but I guess back to your point about Giannis, we don't got to get too far into the NBA, though. I think Giannis has some serious deficiencies with his game. I think those deficiencies have created a ceiling for him, which I don't think he's going to the championship this year. Is that the way you feel? Because if that's the case, like the time when we felt like Giannis was the best player in the NBA was a long time ago now. Like, I don't really hear people arguing that anymore. Even though he is the reigning MVP, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody right now that says Giannis is the best player in the league. I think Josh Allen's had a really good season. I'm not arguing that he's the best quarterback in the league. I don't think that he would argue right now just based on what he's accomplished. The other text or the other tweet, it says, also easy to argue that these are the four best quarterbacks in the game. You said that yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, how important is that position? If you don't have a great quarterback, then you don't have a great offense. I kind of feel like this is a year-by-year thing. Just last year, San Francisco, Green Bay, Kansas City, Tennessee, nobody thought those were the four best quarterbacks in the NFL. San Francisco's offense is as elite as I think Buffalo's offense is. It was different than last year's or than this year's Buffalo team, but last year's San Francisco team was one of the best rushing teams in the history of the NFL with their quarterback last year healthy and Kyle Shanahan's super effective, super efficient offense. Last year's Tennessee, nobody's arguing that Ryan Tannehill has ever been one of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, but they were elite at running the football last year and got good enough quarterback play. You know my belief. It's always about being elite at something. All four of these teams, I think, are elite in various ways. I think Kansas City has an elite offense. I think that Buffalo at times has an elite passing attack. I think that Tampa Bay has elite weapons. I think that Green Bay has an elite quarterback. So it's just to me about being better at something than everybody else. But I don't think that this year is the, hey, these teams have the four best quarterbacks. That means that it's a quarterback league, when just last year we saw that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but if you don't have one of those quarterbacks, you better have a great coach, a great running game, a great offensive line, a great defense. Every one of those scenarios that you just described, hell, the team the Chiefs beat in the Super Bowl last year, San Francisco, is exactly that. We all know Jimmy Garoppolo is the 22nd best quarterback in the league, but he had the best rushing attack. He had Kyle Shanahan. He had a really good defensive line, so he was able to get to a Super Bowl and maybe eventually win one. Look at the year before that when, who was it, Jared Goff or Nick Foles the year before that. It's weird because what you're talking about is true in the NFC. If you look at who's come out the last 4 or 5 years, it hasn't been the Aaron Rodgers or the Drew Brees or the Russell Wilsons. It's been these random quarterbacks. Like I just said, it's been Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo or Nick Foles. That ain't the case in the AFC. Look at the quarterbacks the last 25 years. Look at the teams that have gone to the Super Bowl from the AFC the last 25 years. Essentially, if you take the Peyton Manning Broncos year out of it, and the Joe Flacco year out of it, every one of those teams had the best quarterback, or one of them.
Yeah, and I guess I would say, to me, all this really proves is what I've already known about the NFL, that it takes either you having a great quarterback, which I think Kansas City and Green Bay have, or creating a great situation. We'll see if Josh Allen is a great quarterback. That takes time to do that. But I saw Josh Allen when he didn't have Stephon Diggs, and I saw when they gave him Stephon Diggs the drastic improvement that he made. So let's see if Josh Allen can do this over time. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant to put Josh Allen in that category with those other quarterbacks, because I've seen him do it over a prolonged period of time. I've seen them do it in different environments and different situations. I just haven't seen that yet from him.
You're talking about time, though. It depends on what sample size you want to use, because Josh Allen absolutely belongs in this argument. So if we're talking about career, Tom Brady's number one out of all these guys, right? If we're talking about the last 2 years, Patrick Mahomes at the top of this list, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about the last 8 weeks, who's at the top of this list? Maybe Josh Allen? So again, depending on the time that you want to use, he absolutely belongs on this.
Yeah, but I guess I'm saying
best season just this year. Aaron Rodgers. Like, it depends on what sample size you want to use.
Yeah, but I would say those other guys are undeniable first ballot Hall of Famers.
For sure.
I don't know if Josh Allen's anywhere near there, and I just need more time to see.
Nobody's saying that. This is a one-game sample size, man. Nobody's calling him a Hall of Famer like they are these other guys. I think they're just talking about the here and now. Can he go out there in this game and go toe-to-toe, bullet for bullet with Patrick Mahomes? I don't think he can, but it feels like a lot of people do.
Yeah, we'll certainly see. I would say the quarterback that we saw just play last week against the Baltimore Ravens, that quarterback ain't going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, if you use that analogy, then what about the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in a full game versus Atlanta? He wasn't great either, so a regular season game. So, again, we know that Josh Allen isn't that guy, the same way we know Josh Allen, that he's not the guy the Chiefs faced the first time.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, how both of them could be in elite company. That's next. Stick around us to Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive. 610 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. One thing that really annoys me about my profession, and I'm probably guilty of it sometimes as well, is when we say people are saying. Well, sometimes people are saying are two people that sent you a message on Facebook, and now they count as people are saying. So I'm getting ready for the show today. I'm going through various websites, and I land on Pro Football Talk, one of the best football websites on the internet. And one of their headlines says, some in the league think Josh Allen has caught Patrick Mahomes. So I'm clicking on it because I'm like, all right, you know, there's going to be a story here. There's going to be a couple of examples of former scouts or former quarterbacks or media people, people that think that Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes. So I'm reading the story, and it says, on Sunday, two of the best quarterbacks of all time meet in Green Bay. On the other side, two of the best young quarterbacks. Most would say that Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is currently the best in the game. I think that. You think that. Rob thinks that. I imagine a majority of the listeners think that. Some who know the game and study it carefully are wondering whether Bills quarterback Josh Allen has caught up to Patrick Mahomes. Sims, Chris Sims, and I have separately heard talking along those lines is based on Josh Allen's incredible improvement. Size, speed, mobility, accuracy, incredible velocity when he throws, uncanny ability to sprint one way and then throw to the other. I read this whole article. There's not a single person who is referenced who actually thinks that Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes. What are we doing here? I think Josh Allen's a fantastic quarterback. I think he's had a great year. I think he's worthy of all the praise, all the accolades, all anybody has said to him. But what are we doing here?
It just seems a little premature. If he goes out there and wins this game, then that article comes out, then
I still won't feel that way.
No, I still won't feel that way either, but it would make a little bit more sense than writing it today before Josh Allen's really done that. He's put up some nice numbers. He's won the division. He's won a playoff game. But to put him in the same sentence or the same stratosphere with Patrick Mahomes, that's just unfair, and it's frankly wrong. If he goes out there and beats him, then it makes a little bit more sense.
But I guess I don't really care about that as much. Like, we saw Brady and Mahomes go against each other in the AFC Championship game now 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever the time is. You guys know what I'm talking about. I didn't need the determination of who won or lost the game to tell me who the better quarterback was. I felt pretty comfortable at the end of it. And I think at the end of it, all of us knew that Mahomes' time was coming. It didn't matter if it was coming in 2020, which it ultimately did, or 2021. You knew that that person wasn't going to be denied from winning a championship. I think Josh Allen eventually gets to a Super Bowl. I think he eventually wins one. I don't know when it's going to be. You always say you can't pinpoint these things. We'll see how his career unfolds, but I do think he's going to get some at some point. But I do think now we're sort of trying to pigeonhole that contender for Mahomes. We tried it a little bit with Lamar Jackson. He's not at that level the way that he was. We tried it with Deshaun Watson. We tried it with all these other guys. Now I feel like we're trying to do it with Josh Allen. I don't think he's as good as Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think it's as forced as you're making it out to be, because he's done things that those other quarterbacks haven't done. Look, man, if Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes had played in an AFC Championship game a couple of years ago, then heading into this year, I'd say maybe Deshaun's the guy. Or if last year Lamar Jackson cashed the ticket that he had and actually took the 14-2 one seed Baltimore Ravens to the AFC Championship game, we actually got to see it play out. Then I'd say, okay, now we can have the conversation, especially if he gets back. Josh Allen's done what those other two guys didn't do. So let's see what he can do in this game, because it's one thing to talk about regular season wins and MVPs and being dual threat quarterback. I care about how far do you advance in the playoffs. In the case of Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, they haven't done crap. Josh Allen has.
I know, but I guess I'm thinking is, and maybe I could be wrong here, like, I don't think you feel strongly about Josh Allen one way or the other based off one game. I mean, as much as we talk about Lamar not being able to win games, Josh Allen has exactly one more playoff win than Lamar Jackson.
It's the body of work of the regular season. It's the improvement. It's his team, because it's not like we've seen a lot of good quarterbacks on bad teams. He's a good quarterback on a good team. And I think that the pairing of Stephon Diggs was the ultimate weapon that he needed. Like, if you look at what he had last year without Stephon Diggs, it was pretty pedestrian, and so were his numbers. Oh, my God, it's crazy. All of a sudden, he gets a top-five wide receiver. He plays like a top-five quarterback. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I also look at it, too, is let's say that Josh Allen wins this game. I don't think that, but just follow me here. So all right. I looked this up because I was really curious. How many quarterbacks would be in the same situation as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes was? So last year, Patrick Mahomes went to the Super Bowl under the age of 25. Mahomes is as accomplished as any quarterback in the NFL by the age of 25. Since 1990, there have been seven quarterbacks who made their first Super Bowl by the age of 25. You're thinking that's a really hard thing to do. And if you do it, that means it sets you up for this great long-term success, right? Like, if you can get to the Super Bowl at this stage in your career, there's no way you only go to one. There's no way you don't win multiple. Like, you are way ahead of the curve. This is the list since 1990 of quarterbacks who made their first appearance in the Super Bowl by the age of 25. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes doing it last year. Tom Brady, he won his first one. Jared Goff, we saw him get to the Super Bowl. We saw him play very poorly in the Super Bowl. We've also seen how it's gone since then. Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, Ben Roethlisberger, who didn't play very well in his first Super Bowl, and Drew Bledsoe. Those are all the quarterbacks since 1990 who made their first appearance in the Super Bowl under the age of 25. All I'm saying on Josh Allen is let's just not be premature in this. Like, Mahomes has a strong body of work. During this time frame, there's nobody in the NFL who has a stronger body of work at this time. He's proven it. I've seen him in all different scenarios. I've seen him on the road. I've seen him at home. I've seen him down 20. I've seen him up 20. I've seen Mahomes in so many different scenarios, and he's always passed that test with flying colors. We got to make Josh Allen go through that same ringer. We got to make Josh Allen clear those same benchmarks and prove it the same way that a lot of those other guys did it. We didn't anoint Goff that way. We didn't anoint Colin Kaepernick that way. We didn't anoint Drew Bledsoe from going to the Super Bowl at this age. It took time. It took years. It took production. It took doing it over a long enough sample size. I just want to know who these people are. I want to know who these people are that right now are watching games and have come to the conclusion that Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes, because they're watching some secret games I haven't seen.
Well, you brought it up, and you're awful worked up about it. So who are these people? Because I've never actually met one of them. I've heard a lot of wild opinions from wild people.
I don't either.
That's what I'm saying. I think that writers go out there and they want to write a story that fits their narrative. So kind of like our boy Colin Cowherd does.
I think it's going to be wrong even if the Bills win this game. Like, I will have the same opinion today as I would have on Tuesday if Buffalo goes out and wins.
I mean, if he beats Patrick Mahomes and he's 25 years old and he's been to a Super Bowl and he's got a chance to win one, and he has, well, let's say he does win one. Now he's got one, Patrick Mahomes has one, and they're approximately the same age. I mean, at that point, I'm not saying he's caught up to him, but the conversation would be fair to have. Let's see him go out there and do it. I mean, I would be wildly impressed if Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, can go out there and win this football game because of Josh Allen. By and large, the same reason I think the Chiefs went out there last year and won this round because of Patrick Mahomes. If he's that guy, if he's that close to Patrick Mahomes, then I'll tip my cap to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll certainly tip my cap if they win. I'm just not at that point. Like, to me, it's not a win or loss thing. It's just more over a time thing. But I guess I'm just different when it comes to Josh Allen. That's perfectly fine here. I want to play this audio for you guys. So Travis Kelce met with the media earlier today, and I think he echoed a lot of the things which you have been saying over the course of the season. Here is the Chiefs' future Hall of Fame tight end.
I don't think we put our best game out there. So, I mean, there's obviously those red flags or those opinions are thrown out there for reason. And it's on us to make sure that we go out there and play our best. Obviously, you know, you don't want a tight game. You want to put up 50 on everybody, but at the same time, you know, you got to respect the team that you're going against. And I think right now we've gradually started to become a better team altogether, where we play off of each other better. Offensive, defensive, and special teams is everything starting to come together like we know how to play. And you know, a lot of that has to do with the coaching that we have and the leadership that we have in this building. It's second to nobody. I'm excited to get out there and prove ourselves right and show everybody that we are who we are.
You and I both have identified the Chiefs to be coasters. They certainly have played up or down to the level of their competition just on a week-to-week basis, but they've always found themselves to dominate or win the football game. You have picked the Chiefs to blow out their opponent, I believe, now for the 19th consecutive week. Last week, I actually think they were going to blow out Cleveland, but obviously the Mahomes injury, I don't really put anything by it. The last week against the Chargers, that game just never happened. I erased that game from my mind. You've talked a lot about the Chiefs' A game and fully expecting to see it, and they were going to unleash it in the playoffs. There's only two possible games left for them to do that against. It's either this AFC Championship game against a team that you have a lot of respect for in the Buffalo Bills, or Green Bay, who has been, I don't want to say the equal to Kansas City this year, but they've certainly been a good 1A, 1B situation, or they'll be going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team in which they saw earlier this season that did play a one-possession game against them. Do you think we'll see that A-plus dominant effort from Kansas City on Sunday that you've been kind of waiting for since week four against Baltimore?
You're right. I mean, Buffalo's, especially the regular season, they were blowing the doors off their opponents, and the Chiefs were just winning the fingernail-biting type of games. In fact, this is crazy. In their last 10 games, Buffalo's covered nine. Nine times Buffalo's covered the spread in their last 10 games. In their last 10 games, the Chiefs have covered once. So what you're saying is true. Like, Buffalo's wins have been much more impressive, albeit they both count for one win. I think that offensively, the Chiefs were about to run a absolute – they were going to have their way with Cleveland. You could tell early on. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is so excited. He threw the ball outside the stadium. So you could tell that the Chiefs were cooking on offense. And on defense, I felt like they really came around and were the reason why the Chiefs eventually won that game. So if Pat stays on the field, I think the Chiefs win that game 42-17 and kind of do what I've been talking about and Trav's talking about, where they hit their stride when it matters the most. So, yeah, and they're healthy. I mean, we think they're going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. Didn't have him last game. We think they're going to have Sammy Watkins back. Edwards-Helaire the first time around had 150 yards against his team and a touchdown. You always talk about a big Sammy, playoff Sammy is. So if those things are true at all and they've got back and they're healthy, and one more thing, I think the playbook's going to be wide open, because if you win this game, you go back-to-back Super Bowls. Yeah, I mean, all signs in this game point toward, for me, the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the better football team. And as long as Patrick Mahomes is out there, there's zero, and I say 0.00, hesitation that he's not going to look like normal Patrick Mahomes. In fact, I expect him to go out there and have a huge game.
I think that Barber made a really strong point yesterday when he came on, and he talked about how Buffalo has been running at an incredible pace for the last 8 weeks. Basically, since their bye week, and that was after the game against Arizona, the last game that Buffalo lost, they have been on an absolute tear where they have just been blowing teams out. They've been scoring a lot of points. They haven't taken a rest. They have played every game through the last 8 weeks, and for the most part, played at a really high level. They won last week by double digits, didn't win the game against the Colts, get double digits. They scored 56 against the Dolphins, 38 against the Patriots, 48 against the Broncos. They have been running at this incredible pace. I didn't really think about it until Barber brought it up, but has Buffalo peaked? Because the last game that they had against Baltimore, I would say, was the worst game that they played since the game against the Jets. You remember that stretch where people were cool on Buffalo. They had lost the game to the Titans, in which they got blown out 42-16. They lost the game at home to Kansas City. They then struggled for three quarters against the Jets and then beat them 18-10. Since then, they've been one of the best teams in the league, but they went through that lull in the middle part of the season. I mean, last week they scored 10 points offensively. One of their touchdowns was an interception return for 101 yards. They did not go out there and play at an incredibly high level. I didn't think about it until Barber brought it up, but do you think there's a chance that Buffalo has sort of run out of gas and that they peaked and that they maybe tired themselves out in the regular season playing at that really high level while Kansas City was coasting? Kansas City didn't play in week 17. Kansas City did get the bye week, where now Kansas City is getting fully healthier, where Kansas City is just the more well-rested team for this game.
Maybe it's that. Maybe you're just looking at half the story. You're pointing out they only scored 10 points against Baltimore. Well, what does that tell you? How do you win a playoff game while only scoring 10 points? You have a really good defensive performance, and they did. I know Lamar Jackson got knocked out of that game, but they only gave up 3 points to a Baltimore team that averaged 30 points per game this season. So I think that Buffalo offensively is a little bit up and down. It's crazy because we spend so much time talking about all these other offenses that are left in the playoffs, Green Bay and Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Well, Buffalo's offense averaged 31 points per game, which is more than the Chiefs did. So they can certainly score on you. They're a little bit inconsistent, though. If you look at their totals, there's a bunch of 17s and a couple of 12s, and they'll put up a 45 spot or a 50. So I don't know which Buffalo offense you're going to get. Kind of like I don't know exactly which Chiefs defense you're going to get. To me, that's the most intriguing thing. Because
I don't have that question about the Chiefs defense. It's interesting that you say that. Like, I don't have any reason to think that Buffalo is going to score, say, 35 points in this game.
Oh, they might. They might, man. Buffalo can put up some points.
What was the last team you felt like really dominated Kansas City's offense in that way? Like, I think it's been a while since we've seen that. Like, I think maybe what we're learning over the case of these last couple of weeks is, oddly enough, I have way more confidence in Kansas City's defense than you have. Like, last week, I didn't think that Cleveland was going to run the football against them in the way that you thought they could potentially run. That didn't happen.
No, you're right.
I'm not saying that Buffalo's offense isn't good, but I'm just saying is, based on what we've seen for now the last 27 weeks, what makes me think that they're going to go out there outside of Las Vegas, where they scored the 40 points on them? Kansas City's defense has played pretty well this year, and I think we can identify that game against Vegas as one of those bad weeks is going to happen over the course of the season, but we've seen this team go up against a lot of high-power offenses, a lot of great teams. They haven't really got exploited by a lot of people. Only one running back ran for 100 yards against them this year. That was Josh Jacobs. They've done a mostly good job against big-time wide receivers. I'm not saying that Buffalo's only scoring 10 points in this game the way they did last week, but I don't think there's any reason to think this game's going to be played 42-41 either.
No, if you maybe bet the Chiefs defense is going to show up the same way they did against Cleveland. I don't want to take that away from them. I think they're the reason that they won. But I also don't think that they're this great defense, because I'm looking up and down at the totals that they gave up this year. They gave up 31 to Carolina. They gave up 31 the next week to Las Vegas. They gave up 27 to the Dolphins. They gave up 29 in New Orleans. So all I'm suggesting is the same way that the Buffalo offense has been a little bit up and down at times this year, so is the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, but if I could press the button right now and you're telling me they only allowed 27 points, I'll run to press that button right now. Like, I don't think allowing 27 points is a great defensive effort, but when you put that with the Chiefs offense, like, we never asked the Chiefs defense to be top five.
I'd be nervous. If that's the only variable that I had, if you're Miss Cleo and you say, all right, Sean, the opposition, the Buffalo
Bills. Are you nervous because you don't think Kansas City is going to score 30?
No,
in this
it's
game?
Just 27. That's a big number, man. No, of course I think the Chiefs can score 30. I think the Chiefs score 40 or 50. I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I'm just saying that 27 points is a big number. And if we're talking about we're confident in the defense, but you'd also be satisfied with 27 points, that just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, every playoff game Patrick Mahomes has finished, they have scored at least 31
Which
points
is why
in the
I'm
game.
Cool with it, yeah.
So I'm saying is right now, if I could run to press that button and lock in 27 points, I think they win this game. Now, maybe they don't cover this game. Maybe they don't go out and they don't blow this team out, but that's how I've always, you know my stance on the defense. If you allow 27 points or fewer with this offense, especially being as healthy as I think is realistically possible, obviously you don't have Mitchell Schwartz, but you haven't had Mitchell Schwartz for now, it seems like 75% of the season. Pat's going to be healthy enough in this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, is going to play in this game. Darrell Williams is running at an effective level. Hill's going to be there. Kelsey's going to be there. Watkins is going to be there. Mecole Hardman was part of the offense. Like, if the weather allows it to be the case, I fully expect Kansas City to score at least 30 in this
game. I do, too. The only thing is, the last 2 months, Patrick Mahomes, he was good. Don't get twisted what I'm about to say. He wasn't the MVP level, the best quarterback in the league, throwing for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, scrambling. He wasn't that guy. He wasn't the same guy that we've gotten used to here in Kansas City. Albeit the Chiefs are still winning those football games, and his numbers weren't bad. But if you really break it down for about the last 2 months, which is a good sample size, I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I'm talking about 2 months. I'm talking about 8-9 games. Josh Allen, his numbers are similar, actually a little bit better than Patrick Mahomes. So as long as we agree that Patrick Mahomes is going to go out there and look like he did in 2018, look like he did the first half this year, look like he did the first half against the Cleveland Browns before he got hurt and put up 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, then I think the Chiefs are going to be very comfortable in this football game. And I have no reason to think he's not going to be that guy. There's some people that say, well, what if you combine the head injury, the neck injury, the foot, any concern there? Absolutely not. If Patrick Mahomes is on that football field, then he's going to be Superman.
I want to play this for you. This was Nick Wright when he joined us yesterday on the show. I did not know this stat. I think this could be the stat between Buffalo keeping it close or Buffalo potentially getting run out of the building.
I don't think the Bills can slow down the Chiefs offense even a tiny, tiny bit. I think that there is this illusion that the Bills defense has played well this postseason. It hasn't. They've allowed 8 trips into the red zone, another 2 inside the 28. And on those 10 trips, the opposition has scored 16 points. It's been a remarkably lucky defense so far that's been outgained in both of the playoff games. So I just think you're going to have a pretty damn healthy Chiefs team come out and be able to go up and down the field.
I agree with Nick probably 97%. I think Kansas City is going to be able to move the ball. I look at Buffalo's defense as being pretty incredibly average. I think if Kansas City wants to run the ball, I think they'll be able to do it to some degree of success. I also think that Mahomes and throwing the football against that secondary will also have some success. Buffalo's defense the last few weeks has epitomized bend but don't break, and they haven't broken. I thought that Indianapolis outplayed Buffalo in that first game. I thought Buffalo played well. I thought Indianapolis played better than them. They just left a lot of points on the board. You cannot expect Kansas City to leave those points on the board. last week against Baltimore. Baltimore was missing kicks. Their quarterback got hurt. Like, Baltimore played a D-minus game out there, and that's why they only scored 3 points and they lost the game. If you're banking on that same thing, if you're Buffalo, Kansas City not executing, Kansas City turning the football over, you're going to give Kansas City multiple times in the red zone, and they're not going to leave with points. I think that's a really dangerous recipe. If this team's going to execute to the level you think they're going to execute and play their A-plus game and they get in the red zone 5 times, you got to bank on them scoring at least 3 touchdowns in that scenario and also kicking field goals on the other two.
And Mahomes is ready and Mahomes is rested, which is a terrible recipe, RRR. How about that for the Buffalo Bills? How many quarters has he played over the last 3 weeks? He's played 2.5 quarters of football. And when he was out there before he got hurt, he looked pretty damn good. Both his legs scored a touchdown and his arm threw the football over the back of Arrowhead. So I think that Patrick Mahomes is ready for this football game. He's amped for this football game. He knows that after this, he's got another week off if they win before adding to his legacy and winning, hopefully, another Super Bowl. So there's no question that Patrick Mahomes is just as ready as we are as a city for this football game. And it feels like you're saying, C-Dot, the Chiefs are going to get off to a hot start. It's contingent for Buffalo if they're going to hang around this football game to keep scoring, because you don't want to do what the Chiefs did in the playoffs last year. I don't care how good you are, how good your quarterback is. If the Chiefs get up 2 touchdowns, 17 points against the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Bills are going home.
Coming up in just a little bit, if you missed it earlier today, Patrick Mahomes met with the media for the first time since being placed on the concussion protocol. We have taken every question about Mahomes' health, every answer about Mahomes' health, and put it all into one big cut for you. We'll play that for you coming up next. We'll also get to the top stories of the day as we get you ready for the AFC title game on Sunday between the Chiefs and the Bills. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio on the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.